The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and it is possible to lose principal and interest when investing in securities. No strategy can guarantee a profit or prevent against a loss. The views expressed represent the personal opinions of the presenter or the featured guests, not necessarily those of USA Financial or its affiliated subsidiaries. Any opinions or forecasting statements are subject to change at any time and without notice. John Scindia is an investment advisor representative of, and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Life Stages Advisory, Dean and Remington are not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. Welcome to episode 51 of WTF, Wealth, Taxes, and Finances. I'm your host, John Scindia, certified public accountant and personal financial specialist. I've got Rem and Dean in the studio today.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Now you can see Dean. We got a GoPro set on him to
Something
like that, yeah. I told him to put it on his head, but he didn't want to do that. So I don't know. Do it out of a
mirror. Do like an action cam.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
Dean
put it
view
on a mirror
or something.
Something like that, yep.
Keep him asleep.
It's like you're in the studio.
Yeah, just like you're there. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about different types of real estate. There's been some questions between the three of us about different topics, real estate, whether it's rental, whether it's home ownership, is it speculative, raw land, farmland, whatever. We're not going to get into the weeds on it, but we're going to discuss different types of real estate and some of the things that you need to look out for, some things you probably haven't thought about. Then it's a matter of, are you looking for these for income producing? Are they going to be able to throw off any tax benefits? Tax law changes will probably be coming here under the new administration this year. So it's going to be something that you're going to want to look at and make sure that you get with a CPA, someone like myself, or call us, contact us, and see if we can help you with that. But you're looking at real estate, and there's personal real estate that you can have, like your home. You could also have a rental commercial real estate. You could have a residential rental real estate. You could have farmland. You could buy it in our area. You could be buying it for gas and oil rights. Some of that stuff from the fracking, it's still going on in our area. Or you could look at it for hunting purposes. I've had clients buying small farms and that, and it has little woods with it that they can go put a little cabin on or whatever and have it as a weekend retreat for them. So there's several different types of real estate that I think, you know, we can look at. And Rem, I think you were the most recent homeowner.
Yeah.
Was purchasing that. What type of questions did you have prior to getting into it and then looking at it now and saying, hey, if I'd have known this before, it would either save me money, time, or some effort in looking at property?
Definitely wish I would have known just along the lines of like where all the water lines for like the city go, like what's technically your property and what's something that you have to have somebody come out and work on, because you're not allowed to go this far out of your front yard and dig into these like pipes to fix something.
Call 811 before you dig.
Yeah. Right.
And then, yeah, everybody's got the variances that you have to look at and everything, and saying that you can't build anything could be 2 feet or 6 feet or 10 feet from the property line over into the next area. So the fencing restrictions and all kinds of crazy stuff.
We also have, our neighbor's the sweetest lady in the world, so it's not a problem, but I could see it being an issue for some people with certain neighbors. Our house has like little to no yard to begin with. And we were talking to our neighbor and she's like, oh yeah, I talked to one of the people that comes out and like they plow the land for everybody. Technically, your yard is my yard, according to the city, but I don't care. I'm not going to take your yard from you.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a picture of it on her phone, and what we thought was our like 7-inch wide strip of grass on the side of our house is actually her 7-inch wide strip that runs the whole length of the house.
Okay.
But she doesn't really care. So
is that right? So from a standpoint of the survey showed that it was actually hers.
Yeah.
You're thinking that based on the way it was either drawn up or whatever, that looked like it was your property.
We have a garage that's in our backyard that kind of juts out a little bit. And that spot's also ours. But it's kind of weird because it comes on the actual survey that she was showing us. It goes back, juts around where the garage is. Mm-hmm. And you would think if that part where the garage is my property, the grass connected to it running out to the street would also be ours, but it's not. It was just a little weird how they drew everything up. But
yeah. Well, and that's the thing. We've had five or six different homes over the last 30 years. And every time you get into a different development, you've got different restrictions. You've got the state codes, you've got the county codes, you got the city codes, and then you're going to have something for the development or allotment or whatever's in your area. And everybody's going to have different restrictions, different laws, all this other stuff. So whether or not it's a residential or a rental property, you want to start looking at some of this stuff. And when you get a good realtor, they should be able to look out for all these things. And it's a good thing to put down on paper what exactly you're looking for, whether it's a residence or if you're looking for rental property or whatever. And especially when you're looking at, buying something as opposed to looking at it for, rental purposes or whatever. We were talking earlier here amongst ourselves about the inventory and the prices of the housing and everything. Still looks like it's going to be a strong housing. Problem is the inventory is low. So that's been pushing the prices up. And if you get a $200,000 home, it's not unusual for it to go to $220,000, $225,000, $230,000 even in our area, which is a pretty reasonable area within Ohio here. Across the United States, it's one of the more, consumer-friendly areas that you can find real estate. And if you can find a property in a place, you got to run some numbers on that if you want some real estate to make money. A lot of people just turn around and buy it, and then they figure, oh, geez, once we got it, boy, there's a lot of things we got to fix up on it. We got to put money into it, and it's not going to cash flow from the outset. And sometimes they do. If you look at it properly, so maybe you'll go to a sheriff's sale or get a hold of the bank and get some repossessed rental properties or even on commercial buildings or something. But I think going forward, you want to be very careful with the commercial side of it because of so many individuals and businesses now abandoning the office front and staying at home. And Dean, I think you guys have been working at home a lot. You haven't been in the office for a while, have you, or not? Because I think it could be something that, have they discussed it at your business, whether or not they're going to go back to the office or not?
So we have two office spaces. One of them we were renting and we just bought it like a few months ago. And then the other one they own outright. Mm-hmm. So I think, I'm guessing they own both of them outright. We've remained at the one at low capacity, and then pretty much the other one's been almost empty. Mm-hmm. A couple people there.
Okay.
But other than that, everyone else is from home. Now, getting into that, I think you might be able to think that commercial property might become cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So it might actually not be a bad idea, if the price of that property gets cheaper, but...
Now's the time.
Yeah. I guess time will have to tell on that one. I think that'll be something you'll see over time. Like, in the past, few years, commercial property, office type property has gotten way cheaper than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and here again, it's due to the COVID situation, that people and the logistics of how people are either going to rent, whether it's residential, whether it's commercial or whatever, I think is going to sort of be turned on its head because if you happen to own a commercial property like they do, it's probably more cost efficient of them having their own self-owned building with their business as opposed to having to go out and rent someplace and not have individuals there, I guess. it probably could be a an expense that's a lot lower than what they would have had had they had to go out into the market and get.
I think you'd be more angry if you were paying rent and no one was there. You know, you're paying $2,000-$4,000 a month and the place is empty.
Yeah, and if they're paying maybe $1,000 a month and they've got the building, you know, they may be able to have other uses for it or find some other tenant.
Right.
And in our building, there's myself in the front of it and then an attorney in the back, and then they've got some other smaller suites down behind us and everything. Now, ours are stable. We've been in here for over 10, 12 years now, and so is the attorney. But the other ones in the bottom, in the suites, it's just like a revolving door down there. I don't think anybody's been in there longer than three, 4 months, and that's been over the last 2 or 3 years since we've had the new landlord. But I think what you have to do is go into the whether it's going to be as an investment, if it's going to be for additional income, whether it's going to be for personal use or whatever, vacation property could fall into the same situation because there again, a lot of people will turn around and look at places that they've never been out of the state of Ohio, and they want to go and buy a place in Florida. And then, you know, they find out that it's too hot for the most part, and then they've wasted a lot of money, a lot of time in trying to get rid of it. They might be able to sell it. They might not, you know. So you need to do a lot of thinking and exploration on that. And I've consulted with several clients in the past and have talked them out of buying something right away and told them to say, hey, you know, go spend $5,000, $10,000 for 2 or 3 months. Stay down there.
I might have to have you talk to one of our buddies' dad. He he just got a bunch of money from a lawsuit that he ended up winning. And he wants to go buy a huge chunk of just woods in, I think, Virginia with the plan to chop all the trees down, sell the lumber, and then build a cabin with what lumber he has left. We were asking him, like, you sure, like, you know how to do all that? He's like, I can figure it out, I think. Like, it's just chopping trees, and then you just go sell them to the tree guy, right? It's like, sure.
A lot more involved in that.
And then we were asking, like, do you know how to build a log cabin? He's like, no, but I can figure it out. It's just putting trees together. It's like,
how old is he?
Probably like my dad's age, like 50, 55.
Okay. But why would you want to?
I guess it's like, right.
See, there again, it's some of this stuff with people that are not used to money getting a windfall of something and not knowing how to manage it, you know. So it's like, I want to do this, and here's my dream stuff and whatever. And it's like, you know, not to knock it, but, you know, there's probably a smarter way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think it goes to, you know, back to the situation of just, you know, having some common sense when you're looking at the real estate side of it. You got to know the geographic area. You got to know what the trends are in the area you're buying. What type of property is it? Like I said, is there going to be tax benefits? What else do you have to have as far as constraints? You have to have some money with you. Make sure you're not going to put all this money down on it. The other thing is, I believe in the old, you know, OPM, other people's money, especially since we're at these record low rates. I think I was seeing something the other day. Someone had gotten a 2.25%, 2.5% loan. I think it was on 30 years.
My buddy that's a realtor got somebody 2.25%.
2.25%?
Well, not his. The guy he does financial stuff with does.
Yeah.
The real estate loans got him 2.25%.
You're looking at 2.25%. At some point, the rates are going to turn around, you know. If we are this low for another 20 years, we got issues, you know, from that standpoint. And it just can't happen with taxes going up eventually here, that they're looking at from the administration talking about it, and other things that are going to be eliminated. Taxes are going to go up. They might backdoor them by not giving you a deduction, but that's still going to increase your taxes. And whether it's real estate, income, any other sales tax or whatever, something else is going to have to happen because you can't get all these services for nothing. So you need to be there. Again, it goes back into that budget situation. There's several people, a lot of younger millennials are starting to get into maybe their second or third job, making a nice, you know, comfortable six-figure income. And they're in their late 20s, early 30s. And they are going out to maximize what they feel is going to be their biggest bang for their buck. Low interest rates, I'm going to buy as much as I possibly can. Well, you know, that's okay as long as you're going to maintain that. And it could be a situation that that job will still be there. But if you're putting out $2,000 or $3,000 a month for a house payment, take it from me, you know, when you're looking at it 20 years down the road going, well, I don't know if I really needed to do that, you know, and you're short on the other side of that as far as saving for, you know, retirement or something. So there again, it's like trying not to extend yourself to the point, but, you know, if you're putting out a lot in college loans and you're putting out a lot on real estate, chances are you're probably not going to be matching that in a savings capacity, because you could be looking at $4,000 or $5,000 a month going out for that. Chances are you won't be saving that unless you're making a really good type of salary. But everything needs to be in balance. And I think on that real estate side, some of the other things that we were looking at, talking about before was if there is a situation that you have an opportunity to buy something versus renting or leasing, you know, if you're going to buy something, how much should you put down? Well, conventional loans are 20%. Okay. Is it a situation that that tax benefits are going to be able to help you, since we've got standard deductions are higher now, and a lot of these other restrictions on whether it's real estate taxes or state taxes are going to be a little bit stymied? You're not going to be able to itemize and get a, I guess, get an advantage of taxes. So now it becomes a cash flow situation. So should you end up buying something yet, or should you be looking at, you know, renting something, especially if you're trying to save money or you're spending a lot on education? And there's always going to be property there, and you have to make sure that it's not an emotional choice. Too many people are going out, I have to buy a house before I'm 22 or 25 or 30 or whatever, and I got to have a dream house by the time I'm 27. You know, what is that? Chances are you might have it as a dream house at 27. I doubt very seriously if you're going to be there 30, 40 years. You know, you're probably either going to get moved on a job. You may end up, you know, tastes are going to change. Something's going to happen and you're going, well, okay, I've either outgrown this or I don't need it anymore, or it maybe it got too expensive to maintain. So when you start looking at all those things, it doesn't make sense while you're wanting that. There again, is it a need thing or is it a want thing? And normally it's a want thing. I want to have this dream house now. Yep. You know?
Yeah, I want it right now.
Yeah. Well, when we bought our house, we kind of bought it with the mindset of like, this is not going to be our forever home. This is not our dream house. Mm-hmm. It's our house for now that we're going to fix up and hopefully flip it and then just kind of see where we're at in life. And like you're saying, like, I don't know if I want to be in Ohio or just at like Northeast Ohio even for the rest of my life. So I might flip the house and move somewhere else. So definitely not locking myself in there.
And that's the thing. And it's just a matter of being, you know, vigilant as to where you're buying. Could be a different area of the city that could be more conducive to your budget. It might be a fixer-upper. You know, it doesn't have to be a brand new house, but so many people, even yet today, you know, we've never had a new house. I'm not going to think that we ever built anything. We never had a new house. So we've always renovated stuff and we've made out. We've never lost money on a house, but we didn't buy anything for $100,000 and sold it for $400,000, anything like that. But we've always made out on the house that we had and, you know, never lost any money on it. But, you know, going forward, even since 2008, when the last crash happened with real estate as has the market has almost gone straight up. And now it's sort of a bidding war when in some parts of the country that you have a $1 million property and somebody's, you know, offering $1.3 million, $1.4 million, and they might even tear it down, you know, and then rebuild something else. It's crazy. So
while the inventory is low, you know, it could be still a seller's market like we're talking about for a while. But if the inventory goes out, it's still going to be a seller's market, but now it's going to be very limited as to who's going to buy them, because it's still going to get, you know, bid up even more. So as people go through and have refinanced, hopefully everybody's refinanced by now, you know, take advantage of these rates. When you start looking at things like that, that's probably one of the biggest outliers that is going to help, you know, make a decision at this point, because you really have to look at it differently, not as a tax benefit anymore, almost as a cash flow situation. And if you can cash flow it and it puts money in your pocket at the end of every month, then, you know, then it's a good deal. And there's always those types of opportunities out there. Got a lot of clients that have a lot of real estate and rental real estate, and you either are in love with it or you hate it, you know.
No in between.
There is no in between. You either do it and you go crazy, and that's the only thing they've ever invested in. And the ones who have done it have been, you know, really successful at it, and they have no money in the market. So it's like everything's in real estate. You know, you live and die by that. And some people have, you know, too much farmland, and what you have to do is look at it from, you know, they're rich on paper, but if something happens in the family that they have to get rid of that or whatever, and they, you know, there is some farms around here that have had several thousand acres, and they've been forced to sell off parts of that in order to pay taxes and stuff. So it's a balance, but you've got to really watch, you know, what's happening from that standpoint. And then, you know, anything else on a real estate basis, there again, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Nothing wrong with having real estate as an investment along with, you know, stocks or ETFs, cryptocurrency. You know, there's all kinds of different things to go in with it. So there, again, it's a balanced attack, but it's an attack that you need to have, you know, logistically and strategically planned out from that standpoint. What, anything else you guys can think of from the real estate standpoint?
I was trying to look this up while we were talking. I couldn't find anything 100% specific with it, but do you know for like the land that you own, like let's just say for my house, is it that you own all the way down to like the center of the earth, and like how far up do you own as well?
Boy, I don't know. I'm sure that, you know, there's such thing as air rights.
Yeah.
You know, and then from the underground, that you'd have to talk to a real estate attorney and see exactly what were you thinking as far as
I know my girlfriend, when she was doing real estate like a year or two ago, she was telling me all this cool stuff, and I'm totally spacing on it, but it was something like you own, and this might not be correct, but it's like you own all the way down to the center of the earth below your property, like mm-hmm. as far down as possible. But I don't know about the airspace, though, because I don't know if it's like you own everything up into outer space, or if there's mm-hmm. like limits for like obvious airspace for like planes and stuff. But
that I don't know. But I know that, you know, there has been issues that if somebody,
it's like a drone,
has built in, well, you're going to have airspace from, you know, you can't. Oh, from flying and everything.
Oh, yeah. You know, you've got to have stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know. You're not
and there's zoning laws, so you can only you can only build so high.
Right,
right. You have those types of things. As far as any of the air rights, I know there's been people have been sued for having a building that they had an unobstructed view of, you know, a water or something, and then all of a sudden somebody else built into it, and it's like you really can't do that because we've got the air rights to you know, as a clear
Line of sight. Some of her family lives down in North Carolina, and every time we go down there, there's one of the mountain ranges down there has just the most bizarre set of buildings where it's like a bunch of trailers stacked up on each other, and it's like four or five high. And eventually I asked one of her family members, I was like, what's going on with all this? And like, yeah, they used to just stack the trailers as high as possible just to maximize space, but then they had to pass a law where it's like you can't, because it like clashes with the mountain range.
Oh god,
horrible. But they had to pass a law where it's like you can't build anything higher than like a one level building
yeah
if it's on the mountain range, because it it's just an eyesore. So it's like an eyesore law or something.
You'll see a lot of that in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona, New Mexico, stuff like that. It's got to really be, you know, blend in with the, with the surroundings and everything. So, well, I hope this has been informative. We wanted to just give you a little dive into some real estate, some things to think about, and what you should be doing as far as in the considerations of any residential or commercial real estate, or even a personal or a vacation home. So, if you have any questions, Jay Cindy at lifestagesadvisory.com. Look at our websites and everything. And like us, love us, and tell your friends. And you know, we'll be getting some new content out to you soon. Like I said, more of a visual perspective going forward with some of these that will give those. Are you a left brained or a right brained? If you're
middle brained,
not lame brained. Is
that's me.
As long as you're not lame brained, we're
back
okay.
Brained.
Yeah, that's right. anyway, so much for the brainiacs today. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you soon.